Welcome to the Feral Minds Podcast. You are right where you need to be, and we are glad you're here. Come seek with us as we laugh at what we have known and find direction from what our curiosities demand we learn. So you've raised my curiosity about human design. I'd never heard of it, and I feel like somebody who has gone down to the springs of self-help and completely saturated myself in all forms of self-help, which you may not call this self-help. Maybe I'm offending this discipline for you, but I'm just curious. I'm curious about human design. I'd never heard of it, and I'm sure there's some other people out there that are curious as well. So I thought, what a great opportunity for you to educate us on all things human design.
Yeah, and I'm excited to do so. I say with some reluctance. It's something that I came across in that same kind of lane. I'm trying to find understanding, acceptance, growth, development within myself. And whenever I stumbled across this, as I looked at it, I remember even kind of thinking like, oh, well, that explains the whole meaning of life right there. I'll get to it later. There was, you know me, I procrastinate. So there was this feeling like a knowing. Right whenever I got there, I was like, this is a powerful tool that I know is exactly what I'm looking for.
But you found it on the internet, or this is a book you picked up, or you went to a lecture. How'd you find it?
It came to me in a few different ways. Now, the first initial, I guess, introduction to it was through, I don't know what you want to call this guy, a therapist, my counselor, my sobriety coach. He's a life coach to me. It's a person that I go to. Okay. And you've already talked about it, Dr. Cohn. It's someone I go to, and I've been going ever since I started struggling after my fourth DUI, getting through alcoholism and all that. And throughout the decades I've been going there, I have seen both myself grow and learn through his teachings, and then also I've seen him grow and develop. And one of the stages along that was whenever he discovered human design.
Okay.
And then he had kind of shared it with me. But in the doing so, when he brought it to me, when it was introduced to me, it wasn't as a, hey, I've studied this and I know it and I can teach this to you. It was more of a little bit like where I'm at even now. It's a, hey, this is incredible information that I can give about you, but I don't know it all yet. Here's what I do understand.
So he was giving you a chance to grow right along with him.
To an extent, yeah.
All right, so let's take me back to the before picture. So you're searching. You're searching for something.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. And what do you feel you're, at this point, are you engaged in any religion? Do you have a religious background at all?
A little. I've bounced in and out of the different theologies. I feel like there is not any one single ideology that really has it all figured out. You know, no one's walking around this existence with godlike consciousness.
Nobody's coming back to tell us.
You don't know everything of all. And nobody wants to. You know, you're here to be you. You're here to be your unique expression. You're not here to be everything. But that
alone is almost a realization you have to grow into.
Well, that's
right. That's not innate to us.
No, not at all. But that's some of these things I'm saying, these are concepts I've learned because of my interest in human design over the past 10 years.
Okay.
And I sit here with a little reluctance, I guess, to share my expertise on the subject, because I could sit here and be an expert on how it's helped my life.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as an expert on every facet of it, yeah, you know, I'm just not there yet.
Yeah, I don't think we're
there's
asking,
a lot.
We're not asking for that. And keep in mind how unqualified I am. Hmm. All right. So I'm not asking you to teach me every crack within the human design, you know, ethos, to use a real cool self-help word. I'm just trying to figure out where were you when you found human design, and what has it meant to you? And so if you can take me back to when did you make this discovery? What year are we at?
Oh, man. I'm telling you, it's probably close to 10 years, probably okay. Right around 2014, 2015.
So in that moment, you're trying to figure out, why do I keep screwing up?
Kind of. Why does what I want in life not seem to be lining up? Why am I finding conflict and strife? What can I do to live a life without that, so to speak?
Why am I showing up with good intent and it's not playing out in a good fashion?
Yeah, I think a lot of us sit here and question, like, what our human condition? You know, what are we here to do?
Yeah.
And who am I? What am I supposed to do? What is everything else?
Okay.
You know, we walk this earth with a ton of questions. And while I say that human design, it might not answer all of those, it will answer a whole lot about you. So as I look at this, it's not so much a lesson in life, but a lesson in self-discovery. And then once you know what you are, now you can go engage in life coming from your place of truth.
Okay.
From your place of understanding.
You're trying to build an ultimate awareness of yourself.
Exactly. Like, and, I'm not here to teach someone how to become the next CEO. I can't tell you how to become probably whatever you want or you think you want. I can tell you how to be you in the course of achieving that.
Right.
Or, even more importantly, what something I've noticed it's done for myself is find out what it actually is you want. Because it's real easy to get caught up in this conditioning of outside world that tells you what you want to be, what you're supposed to do. And when you start trying to fit into some mold that goes against you, that's when you start feeling strife and difficulty. And so once you realize what it is you truly want, like for me, for instance, one thing you'll get from human conditioning is you got to have a pile of money. If you don't have a pile of money in this world, you haven't done something successful. You know, there's something wrong with you if you're not rich. Like nobody would, who would want to take advice from someone who's not a billionaire already?
We're compensated by our value.
Right.
It feels that way often.
Well, through human design, I realized how little the need for material possession means to me. I don't want a lot of stuff. I figured I don't even like getting gifts. It is not my personality to want to accumulate and grow and amass a pile of knowledge or money or anything else.
Yeah.
And I didn't know this, you know, because you can get conditioned, like I say, from the outside world. You right now would probably someone tell you that you need to know as much as you can in this earth and get as much money as possible. And in me trying to do those kind of things, it's going to bring nothing but strife,
didn't work,
unhappiness. It doesn't match with my truth.
Yeah.
And so I didn't need to amass all that. Like, I'm not going to sit here from a place of someone with infinite amounts of wealth that's going to tell you how to get rich and wealth. That's not it.
But there was a time you were there. You were doing what you say all the other humans are conditioned to do.
Absolutely.
Which is amass wealth through knowledge or effort or some type of innovation.
Exactly.
You feel a burden to produce something out of your existence. And at times it's hard to understand which doorway do I pick?
Yes.
What exactly, what is this purpose that I'm fiddling with here? Right? I have moments where I feel purpose, but then it goes away. And then I get my third DUI. And then I go, I can't be anywhere near my purpose on my third, first. That's evidence that I'm having problems dealing with some of the reality that is around me. And I'm numbing that. And I'm numbing it in a way that I can't control it anymore. And something has to change there. So take me back to 2012. You make this discovery. You start on this journey with human design.
Mm-hmm.
What's step one? Where do I get started? Take me to the first floor.
Okay, so step one, like I say, you're finding out about yourself. So really, it's step one, and it's step 1,000, is eliminate conditioning in your life. Stop being pushed by outside forces that are trying to send you away. You're not really trying to go.
Yeah, be true to yourself.
Yes, to thine own self be true. All that.
If I know myself.
That's the thing.
The kicker.
People don't know themselves. So they don't always search and seek out things in their life that truly will benefit them.
Yeah, I don't think you can universally say people don't know themselves. I think sometimes when people are struggling, when you're on your third or fourth DUI, there's a lot of physical evidence that you have some internal angst that you're trying to work through that's coming out in undesirable behavior.
Right. And you're bringing up a good point, like with cycles, but you're saying like third, fourth DUI. I mean, you know, my life this is also third, fourth job cycle, third, fourth relationship, you know, the third or fourth time you've stubbed your toe walking out of a door, you know, these are all any sort of area you see a pattern of pain, strife, difficulty coming up, that's an area where you're in juxtaposition to your truth. You're not running in the lane you need to run in. So life makes that lane less irritable. Appealing. It
doesn't feel right.
Right. If you're mm-hmm. running into problems and difficulties in life, then you're just not living to your truth.
Yeah.
And once you start lining up with that, not only does your
Wait a minute. What is my truth? How do I find my truth?
Well, that is where the human design really differs from others.
Okay.
So there's more than one way to find truth in life. There really are.
Okay. All right. So, but
this is one that I feel is more accurate because, like, it takes, we'll call this, it's almost like a personality test on steroids mm-hmm. with no ability to give you inaccurate results. See, right now.
No ability to give you inaccurate results?
Right. Okay. These results will be 100% accurate.
Based on human design.
Based on the time and place that you're born.
But okay, but the statement of 100% accuracy, how do you come to that conclusion?
Well, because it is in alignment with all that we know can energetically affect a growing person.
According to the place where you're getting the information.
Right. So
there's an element of conditioning even within human design. You have to agree to, yes, this is how it works, which is a condition, right?
Well, not exactly. It's more an acceptance of its truth, if you will.
Know. It's an acceptance of another condition that another human created and said, here it is. What
kind of.
What's the difference? But you're listening to, I think, it's not trying to discredit what you're going through. You're listening to your internal calibration, and human design is feeling right.
Right, yes.
You're thinking like, yeah, this, according to my understanding of myself, mm-hmm. this feels like something I need to grow into. Mm-hmm. So back on the first level, we're what? What's step one? Day one of human design, what am I doing?
Okay, so day one of human design, would you come in? And like you would any other personality test, I need to get the information that tells me about you.
Okay.
So I'm going to start by telling this kind of like
you're a reader
in opposition to another personality test that I think is fantastic.
Okay.
There are more than one way to discover yourself.
All right.
And the reason I come with human design is because it's worked well for me. And because of what I just said, the accuracy of it, because I've also taken these other personality tests. One in particular that I know has some success to it. I've seen it play out with others is the Myers-Briggs.
Yeah, we've all taken that at a business conference
and we've all had
or an
mixed,
Easter lunch.
And you have mixed results after the end of it, right?
I don't know. Hey, the thing about taking personality tests that I always thought was strange, I don't know who they were for. And mm-hmm. so I would go to business conferences, and every one of them, like I knew it was coming. Here comes the Scantron sheet. Here comes the little brochure with four pages in it. And I'm going to try to answer this to my absolute honesty. And then I would get, you would get labeled something. Mm-hmm. But I was always confused, like, well, did this help? Is this helping other people understand who I am? Because I already know me. Mm. I already know who I am. That's what I thought at the time. I don't think that was an accurate statement. But I think, there are moments when you're like, what? What do you mean? I know myself.
Well, yes.
Why do you need to give me a test so I can know what I already know? But you're in a moment, and I think there's a great falsehood in that because I don't actually know myself. I think that I know myself.
And, that's right. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah. And so that's where I've always been on all the personality tests that have been handed to me between a Diet Coke and a croissant, that it was just something for other people to label me. I never really had the insight to go, no, this is about knowing thy own self, which was a horribly missed opportunity for me. Like, I was just there to get the T-shirt and move on to the Tuesday. But
what I took,
you're trying to actually find.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I? Why is this machine running the way it is?
Yes.
Why does it have these potholes that I keep hitting? Mm-hmm. What do I need to do? You're at a moment where your seeking is trying to give you direction.
Mm-hmm. And this one can give that, I believe, with much more accurate results. That's why I say without a doubt, based on time and place, it's going to give you the exact energies that do affect your biology.
Okay.
At the time of your birth, and then therefore it's kind of your default mode as you go through life. Now, one of the things I love about human design, though, is it does explain, like, we all have all of the chart. Like, we all can express every aspect of humanity with us. You kind of had a good one where it's like, if one person has rhythm, well, then everybody has the potential for rhythm.
Yeah, I believe so.
It's just how well do you tap into that and how you don't. And human design can tell you, like, naturally through default, what does match up with you, what does kind of get you excited or, you're in tune with, and what you maybe would not be your default, what you might have to work into a little bit more. It's about just knowing yourself and eliminating the outside condition. See, when you take those other tests where it's asking you to give the information to then assess you, all that's doing,
it's
because I'd taken these.
It's tricky.
And I would always thought, I'd sit there and look at the answers, and I wouldn't even think in myself, like, I could be this one. Sometimes I feel this way. I don't know which answer I'm really feeling right now. And then I would get into it, and you could start telling, like, A was always the aggressive one, and D was, like, the passive one. And you would just get to where you're like, well, I know I'm more on the aggressive side, so I'll just do A, or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, like, you can get real sloppy whenever you're trying to assess your own personality. It's hard to know.
It's really kind of false, right? It's a check and a balance without the balance. How can you assess yourself when you don't really know the answer, right? The persona that's inside your head says, yeah, I like to solve problems. No, I'm not super empathetic.
Yeah.
They're really hard to answer with accuracy, and they're almost foiled by the moment.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little bit polluted by what I was going into that day.
Yes.
Just to speak to the volatility, the average human, I don't know how I score on those if they match up, you know, day in, day out, but they never really told me anything about myself that wasn't already constructed in the idea of myself. So I would take these surveys, and they would tell me that I was a concrete, abstract thinker. Mm. That's pretty accurate. But I already know that to be about myself.
Then that's what you answer.
Which
telling
is what
you.
I designed.
Yeah, I just told you. Yeah, thanks for telling me.
You ask me my personality, of which technically I'm unfit to tell you.
Right.
Because I don't know how I know my personality. I know what I think my personality might be.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of need the world to tell me what my personality is. So that's where I would always get stuck on it. Like, yeah. It's going to come out exactly like I am telling you I am,
mm-hmm.
as I try to answer it honestly. The problem is I can't get to my truth, and that's the gap in those moments. And little the reason why, they would always say that, like, listen, these things are going to be highly predictable. They're going to tell you time and time again what kind of person you are. And I'm like, well, but it's me taking it.
Yeah, I know. I'm telling you what I am.
You asked me what I was and how I felt in these situations, and I told you by what I know of myself, it's going to continue to be the same pattern over and over again. So I think it's interesting. In human design, you have a reader, which is a practitioner of sorts?
So to speak. Now, like I said, you put in the time and place, and it's just time
and place of
birth.
Birth?
Yes.
Okay.
And from that, it figures automatically. So to get kind of in the nuts and bolts of the invention of this.
It's a computer program?
It is now. It wasn't originally.
What did it used to be? How did they get there?
Well, it's developed over years. Like, what human design honestly is, it's almost like what I always say you need to have in theory and religious thought or spirituality. It's like a mixed martial arts approach to it. There's not just one aspect that they pulled from to get this information. There is a little bit that comes from the Chinese I Ching. You get a little bit from astrology. That's like the time and place of the planets. And then you get some from the Kabbalah, where it's got the energy centers that talk about within your individual energy being what your filters look like.
Okay.
And then you got your regular genetics, and then the excitement of quantum physics, which is the beauty that nobody knows.
Yeah.
Like, and then, oh yeah, by the way, it could be anything. Welcome to the world of quantum physics.
Yeah, that's where I'm going to
take all possibilities are.
Well, when I want to make sure you can't really refute anything I say, I just take you to the quantum field.
You honestly can't.
And when you're in the quantum field, you're like, I'm not really do you know what I'm standing on right now? Because I don't really. So if I make some stuff up.
It looks like a strawberry, but it tastes like a turd.
Yeah.
There's no telling what you got going on.
We're drawing up our own VR at this moment. So you get a reading. So,
yeah.
And that tells you what?
So for what I can tell you is right off the bat, I can tell you through the nine centers, like what you have as far as fixed, which will tell you like this is a natural energy that comes through you, or you have it open. And that means that you allow energies to flow through you and you kind of feel them and amplify them.
Okay.
So you've got people walking around, different energy beings, and it's almost like you would look at it like magnets, like you've got a plus minus of energy frequencies. And whenever somebody has a strong energy on the other end of what you're needing, like you'll draw that attraction into you.
So we're trying to draw to neutral between our energies. Is that your theory, or that's the thought here?
so to speak. I mean, okay. That's almost the way any balance.
High you're trying to find the balance. Energy will attract one another to create a balance.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And this breaks that down, I mean, basically through 64 different gates, which also correspond to the 64 genes in the human genome. So it takes, I mean, little snippets from modern science, past theology, current working ideals.
Yeah.
And I feel like it brings them all together into as definitive of or exact of a reading or a session or a, an explanation of personality, individual personality that you can get.
Okay, so take me to, you get the reading on day one, and day one, you get the feedback of, this is who human design is saying I am. Mm-hmm. That's day one?
Yeah. You'll get, so here's a good example. It's where you'd fight off conditioning, and maybe you'd sat down in front of me on day one with human design.
Well, that's what I wanted to know. I wanted to know where you were, and then you had the reading, and then what was the gap? What did it tell you about yourself that you were like, whoa, I didn't know that?
Well, some of the ones that it's okay to want to please other people.
That's part of your design.
Yes.
And you didn't know that beforehand.
I didn't. Well, think about conditioning. And I'd even been called this once as an insult at work. Someone said, you're just a people pleaser.
You weren't called that just once. You heard it once.
Truth.
You were called that a lot. I might have called you that at least
a couple half dozen
times.
Well.
Yeah. How many times did you hear that?
When you're with me, I want you to be happy. Because that's how I feel happy.
It's not a bad trait.
No,
not a bad trait.
And let me get into it more.
Yeah. If you're in like a power struggle thing, which is what these human hierarchical designs are, it's not the greatest thing. But so you want to please people, and to a certain degree, you feel guilt around.
And let me explain that. So what I can see that right away when I go into human design is I can tell that there is the energy center, the emotional solar plexus within me that is open.
Okay.
And that means that, as I said earlier, where you kind of take in energy or you give energy.
Yeah.
It is going to pull in energy from others and then kind of amplify it within me, almost like I'm an empath. Like when I'm around someone and I feel angry and I don't understand it, that's the other person's anger.
Okay.
Because they're about, and it's about 50-50, about half the world has what's a fixed emotional solar plexus. So when they go around, they aren't going to be affected by others' feelings. They don't care how other people feel.
Okay.
They are bringing their own fixed feeling to the situation. And other people are tasked with feeling it and then deciding if they want to engage, run away, or leave it be, you know. And once you start to realize within yourself that that's what's going on, then you can come from a place of choice.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you don't know yourself and you're trying to behave on conditioning, you don't feel like you have a choice. Like, I have to do this. I have to be this way. You know. That's just an example as we start off with me pleasing people.
It can feel like weakness, right? If you don't understand it. That's really when people say you're a people pleaser. They're mm-hmm. really screaming, this guy's weak. He won't exert his control. But we know people pleasing is a valid role within this human conundrum we're in.
Yeah. Because nobody's doing that.
Because people need to be pleased, right? Yes. I mean, that clearly has to exist. So you get this reading. And what other elements of enlightenment did you achieve by this reading?
Another one that stuck out big for me, and then again, like, we're kind of just kind of nitpicking through mine, but it does give examples of how when you sit down through
That's
a session, what you walk away from. You know, just, in this,
you are
I've sat down in a session with one, and we probably talked close to 2 hours, and some of the main ones. One of the main ones I got out of that, it helped me a lot with my son. And this is what got me into it, honestly. I had done it for myself and gotten benefits from it and enjoyed it.
But you were still dabbling.
I was dabbling. Right. I dabbled for a long time.
You weren't a believer? Are you allowed to call yourself a believer through this construct?
I guess.
Okay.
I don't know. I trust the knowledge
religion?
That it's
Is this
given
religion
me.
Or not?
Not really. I think it's just an explanation for how energies flow into this earth in life and how to navigate those as a human being.
Okay.
Like, we're all just walking energy bodies.
Yeah.
And we're all working towards something. But if you're not working towards what truly is in line with you, it's going to hurt. It's not going to work out. And you're going to wonder why life isn't enjoyable like you want it to. Once you find out who you are and what your path looks like, it's easy to hop onto it, and then things start falling in place. Life gets more juicy. We kind of talked about this on the show, stuff I got from Human Design. You even can look back on your life at aspects of shame, mm-hmm. rewrite that narrative of that was a need to go through to learn, but now here I am coming from this place.
Yeah.
Then it completely empowers you to be a evolving entity on this planet as opposed to a stagnant one who just gets locked up in things from the past that you didn't understand why you were there or what you got from it.
But you're, now once you start raising your awareness.
Yes.
That's what this is, an exercise in raising your awareness.
There's nothing more important you can learn on this planet than what your unique expression is here to do.
And I think what's interesting about just Human Design and trying to, you know, for me to understand it and relate it back to the religious life that I've known and the religious life that I'm engaged in now, there is a general direction that the religious text is trying to guide you.
Mm-hmm.
And there is an absence of self in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it does, to a certain degree, kind of feel like we're building one perfect person. Mm-hmm. Right? If we read everything and we follow these acts or we follow this guidance, that we will kind of press ourselves into this perfect form. But it doesn't.
And that's saying everybody has to be the same. Insight. That's what I'm getting at.
I think it can feel that way. I think that's where it gets confusing. I don't think religion is trying to tell you to be the same. I think it's trying to say that if we have these beliefs, we walk in these directions, life will be good, and maybe there will be an outcome beyond just this mortal world. I think that is part of the religious journey. But it also doesn't, there's an absence of explanation of self. Mm-hmm. And that's been my experience in my religious practice, is that I can feel like I read and understand how to be a better individual through the guidance of the word. But it doesn't really contain an explanation of myself, or maybe I haven't got to that place within my understanding. But there's always been that gap about explaining who I am that feels like I can only get that from a therapist, right? Or I can only get that from
taking
a 10-mile walk through a dark forest.
Yeah.
But there's not a whole lot of like, oh, you're this way because we need this guy in this role, in this anthropological setup, in order to feed the human race or mankind its value through that person's purpose. It doesn't quite fit the individual boot. You kind of have to make the boot fit around yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's what I think is interesting about Human Design. And it made me wonder if those practicing, you know, other religions could engage in Human Design, or would it feel like idolatry to them?
That's
a curious kind of crossroad that I'm standing on.
Yeah, and which is an understandable one to do. Like, I've talked with Human Design with many people, and I completely believe in it, and have had many people I'm talking to very interested in it. Now, every once in a while, though, you'll get someone who's not. You know, they just, as soon as you mention anything that has to do with astrology, like, you pretty much turn off most of the religions in the world because they've been battling against the idea.
Yeah. When you first introduced Human Design and you said, yeah, it had the flavor of astrology, man, I started pulling the curtains real hard, right?
Yeah.
The lights started going dim on my attention span in that moment. Like, we're going to get up in the stars, are we?
Yep.
All right, I guess I'm listening.
Yeah.
I'll give you half an ear.
Yeah, it's one that has been around longer, but it seems to be battled back the most, which I don't understand how we would deny its possibility whenever, as you look at every single thing on this planet and try to separate it into its own entity, which is what I feel like religions do. They separate the individual from God. Like, they pretty much tell you, you're not God. God's judging you. You got to go make them happy. There's no actual separation. We're all connected in this world of life. And to some extent, we realize that. Like, you know, your existence is going to have impact on mine. I mean, you and I talk, we interact all the time. Now, we don't always see the impact that, you know, like a butterfly who flaps its wings in South America, and you know how that whole thing plays out into a storm on the East Coast or whatever. It's just a story to try to help you understand how we are all connected. And knowing that that's the case, what makes us think we aren't connected to the universe?
How would you feel
that the movement of all planets and life and everything is not connected? Everything we see shows connection and impact and influence on one another. We know there's no way to separate.
It's hard to deny
that. But then when we start trying to talk about concepts of who we are, finding ourselves in this world, well, then all of a sudden, no, we cut all that off. That has nothing to do with the planets that are moving around. It has nothing to do with the earth I'm walking on. Now I'm just me and my own separation. Let me find my separation. You're never going to find separation. It doesn't exist. We're all connected, and this is how you see that connection. It's easy once you bring the faith to believe it.
Yeah, but you, I tell you, one of the more challenging things you do as an adult is try to parse out your faith from the faith that was basically inoculated into as a youth. It's a really challenging thing to do. Yeah,
you're fighting off conditioning.
You're right. It's religious conditioning, but it's also told to you from people that value you, people that you have loving relationships with, people that you understand to have your best interest in mind, people that have proven that throughout their life, or your mother that gave birth to you. These are people that have your interest in mind. They're the closest thing you have to a pure truth.
Mm.
For many of us, I guess everybody has their own parental experience, but it's hard to spend that much time with somebody and think your parents don't have your best interest in mind. And so when your parents...
But they don't.
What do you mean they don't?
They don't.
Your parents don't have your best interest in mind.
Nobody does.
You don't have your best interest in mind for your child.
I have my best interest in mind for him. I don't have his best interest in mind because I can't be him.
Okay.
Every single parent has to understand that if you're going to be any good at parenting. It's the way I feel. You must understand the difference in between what you think your child is here to do and what that child's really here to do.
Or it maybe be aware there's a gap there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Be aware that through your lens, your perception of what you think is best for your child may not be in line with his or her own lens and how they see
not.
The world and how
maybe.
They're designed. Yeah, because
I can almost guarantee an up and down it doesn't match.
There's an up and down through anthropology. So, and you said this had a large impact with your relationship with your son.
Right.
Let's go back to that.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. Because as we talk about some of the most impactful things that it's done on my life, even just dabbling in it, the definitely one of the ones that has really hit home the most was how it helped me understand my son better.
Okay, and this came along at what age for him? How old were you?
Oh.
How old was he?
He was past 10 or 12.
Okay, you're coming.
And now he's pushing 17 now. So I've been applying this for a few years, and I see where I wasn't applying it before.
Okay.
And there's a couple of things I want to touch on with this when I talk about my son. The first one more of a broader scope. So as we already spoke, you know, you're here in human design to find out about yourself. And then when you find out about yourself, and you can start giving yourself grace in areas you need. You know, like I give myself grace in the area of trying to make people around me happy. I don't need to suppress that drive. Like, that's just where I find my joy, is through seeing someone else get joy.
Understood.
And so now that I know that, I don't have to go around beating myself up when I'm trying to cheer somebody up and they won't cheer up.
Which you feel like you did that for the majority of your life to that point.
Oh, I still do it. Yeah, it never went away. It's still me. You don't turn it off, but you get to a place of acceptance.
You enhance the awareness.
Yes, yeah. The awareness brings grace and acceptance to yourself. And now here, as I said, broader scope, once I started seeing that with myself, I thought, you know what? I don't exactly know what my son's deal is. I don't, but there's something there. There's something in his uniqueness that doesn't need to be disciplined out by me. I need to be curious and understand that difference.
Yeah.
That's where we need to look at our children. Instead of trying to make them what we think they should be, find out what they are and then blossom that within them. And so I realized my son's very different from me. I am a experiential learner. As I said, it's also can be a very fancy term for a dumbass, like someone who will not listen to reason, who thinks they're going to go do something different. I have to experience the mistake or
You're an explorer. Yeah. You're an explorer.
Well, my son's not that way. He's much more cerebral. He's a think, figure it out, do it right. He's more a, well, if you want, in human design, they call a role model. Someone who just is, they already know how to do it right. They don't have to go screw up and look like a fool to learn.
Well, if you were a positive energy, he's a negative energy. Or if he was a negative energy, like you go right back to a balance. You learn through calamity. Mm. He learns by understanding that he can avoid calamity before engaging in the activity. So, again, you balance.
Yeah, and there's a little bit, there's a difference there. And that difference helped me understand that I don't need to make him into exactly me. He doesn't need to have quite that energetic explorer mentality that I did. He's got his own way of processing and doing the world. And I gave him the grace to do that. And his life doesn't look like I think it should. You know, for ever since I've kind of taken the training wheels off or taken my conditioning off of him, it has let him blossom into a better person without my interference. And it's let our relationship be much closer without me feeling like there's something in him to fix.
You've kind of given up the onus of control.
Yes.
That's what I'm hearing. Like, yeah. You're not trying to, I think about this with my son. I don't care to make him into me. Mm. I've never felt that because I understand the flaws of me. I also understand the flaws of trying to make another human into something.
But when you had your boy for the first time, you didn't have a little bit of that. I'm going to make him everything I never was. He will be me minus every mistake I made.
Yeah,
that's what I thought with mine.
I've had plenty of that, and it's tough to know when to grab the reins and just let them fall to the ground. And you know, I know there's something about a teenage male. I mean, that's still the T-Rex of the world.
Yeah.
There is so much going on in a teenage male, and his physics are there. He's a big boy now. Mm-hmm. You know, you used to be able to kind of corner him and make sure that if his emotions got out of control, he could maintain it. There were probably people around that could maintain it. Mm-hmm. But now you grow. I'm walking through this now with my 6-year-old. He's getting to a size where I am not trusting that other strangers are going to be able to easily contain any kind of emotional outburst he has. Uh-huh. And so I know I'm moving into a bristly period where sometimes the physics can get ahead of the CPU.
Yes, right?
The processor has not quite figured out how to operate this gigantic beast yet. And
he's like a sports car with a bunch of throttle but no steering wheel.
Yeah.
It's going to go fast, but we ain't going to drive right.
He's a transformer that, you know, in third grade shot up to like 6'5", and now he's trying to figure out how he moves his body around. So there's just so much going on in a teenage male that I think sometimes we don't give them enough grace for what chaos it was for us. I mean, you think about when you were a teenage male. Man, it was just... hang on there, baby. Let's see if we can get through this without going to jail, getting somebody pregnant, or just hang on.
That comparison's hard, too, because when you look back at yourself, you bring some nostalgia. Like, you really will forget a lot of the negative parts about what you did to learn your lessons.
I don't know.
I used to do that with my kid, man.
I think that's a perspective thing.
I used to do that with
it's a man. Hard thing being a teenage male. And it's not that it isn't hard being other things. But, man, when you got the emotions coming, and you got the physics now stepping into the room, and you're still trying, you're early on in that stage trying to define yourself. Whew, that's a ride. Mm-hmm. That is a human roller coaster. So yeah.
It gets very volatile in those coming of age
years. Yeah.
But that's the thing. If you don't get it sorted out then, well, then now you've got that trauma you're going to carry. You know, you ever been around adults and you're like, you act like a child. Like you were just like... I used to think that all the time.
I'd run a daycare.
I would rather these, like, it's sort of like the physics. I wish you guys were all 4-year-olds because you behave that way. But you're grown men with your own onus and choice. And at some point, you've got to figure those patterns out. You know, you hope you can do it, like you said, whenever you're a small human and your impact isn't as great. Yeah. And that's the beauty of youth. We have that opportunity to let them express themselves and learn their difficult lessons. But if we don't let them do that, they don't learn those lessons.
And then
they get into adulthood, and you'll still see them trying to do certain things that just don't match up with being a grown, whole person.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So take us back to, so you're at a place where I'm guessing you and your son were having a little bit of back and forth, a little bit of angst as you wanted him to be something that he wasn't designed to be.
Mm-hmm.
You realize through your awareness and your coming of age now that, oh, I have a design here, that some of these things that I've been trying to suppress are part of my existence. You're realizing that. Now you look at him. Now, are you reading him? Like, did you get the Ouija board out for him or what? Were candles involved? How many crystals were there?
Not enough crystals.
You can round up to lots of 10.
Because as we're talking about, like, there are certain things there that it could seem hokey, but I believe it. Like, there are power in rocks and substances around us. There are different properties of energy in a crystal versus a piece of gypsum.
All right.
Just like there are with different humans. All right, we all different. So
yeah. But tell me about how did you grow to get, because that piece right there, boy, if we could all understand who our children are, if we could understand their design, boy, that lets you relax a little bit as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
That really
it took all the reins off from
that. We've talked about parental guilt, and that as your teenager starts to form, and you're just wondering, am I doing what I'm supposed to be? Like, there's a, like, the parental guilt thing that starts building about how you're doing in your, I guess, parental design of your children. But boy, that can get heavy on you too.
It can real fast. And that's where I went into that segment of human design. So I started off at first, I did the level 1 and 2 teaching. And whenever you get into those, what you'll learn is what centers you have is fixed or open.
Okay.
And then based off those, that gives you a profile.
Right.
Or not a profile, it gives you a type.
Okay.
And then once you understand what type you are, then you know kind of your what they call an authority. And this is your decision-making process.
So you went to school for this?
Yeah. I took
school, we think differently kind of stuff, or
a
university?
A little bit. So the one I took, it's actually quantum human design.
Of course it is.
Yeah, and I'll tell you the difference. And I've noticed it because I studied regular human design.
All right.
From the books that I could find, like I said, introduced to it by a practitioner.
Give me the quantum leap.
And so that original human design language, like, it can be very negative. It's trying to wake you up.
Okay.
So for instance, one of the language that it would use in that one, it would call me a martyr. As opposed to an experiential learner.
Oh, okay. Because you were trying to appease other through your energy.
Well, not so much. It's more like I have to go be the first one to do it,
okay,
and be the martyr. I have to be the first one to go find out.
Okay, gotcha.
And then come back and tell folks, like, hey, I just did
that. You're the Ford Scout.
Whenever you go down that path, watch out for this.
Yeah, okay. You're the Ford Scout.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but instead of the language of a martyr, it is, in quantum human design, you're a... experiential learner.
Okay. All right. It's accepted.
It took me a second to get to it. Experiential learner. And like you said, it sounds a whole lot better than dumbass or martyr.
Well, it has a purpose. There are explorers, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we know they're explorers.
Mm-hmm.
Society is riddled with the evidence. The fact that you and I sit here in this building is because of human exploration.
Yeah.
What's getting real curious right now is we don't know what to do with exploration.
Right.
We've covered it all. We've covered all the land. We've covered all the birds. Where do the modern explorers go exploring? I don't know.
Consciousness.
It's the next frontier. It has to be the next evolution. I guess you could argue for technology, but I don't know. Technology still feels mechanical to me. It doesn't feel like it is.
It has limited possibility.
Yeah.
Whereas if you get in the quantum field, it's unlimited. And that's where your consciousness can reign from. Like, right now, our consciousness sits too much in this fixed world of limitations.
So you think the next explorer, the next version of whoever, you know, founded, the next version of a Jacques Cousteau is not going to be involved with the physical realm.
Right.
They're going to be focused on pushing into human consciousness.
Yes. It's almost like there's only so much you can learn by going outside of yourself.
It's
time
like
to go inside.
Yeah.
And then you're going to find
new
depths.
And we know there are a lot of problems on the inside. Like, we know humans right now are struggling with anxiety and depression and all these first world problems that we have, and we're living very comfortable
through conditioning
lives,
and
very comfortable lives. But think about the explorers that don't even know where to go. What do you explore? Like, where?
I mean, that's what's bizarre.
What is left in the physical plane to explore?
There's not much, and that's why we see the tamping down of that exploration. You know, there's a whole lot of trying to get people to sit still. Don't move. Stop going outside of yourself. Stop blaming outside. It's time to sit down and go within. Be the change that you want to see in the world. Be yourself, bringing your proper expression, and then live in a world where everyone else is allowed to do that. There is no need for anyone else to try to condition the behavior of another. That's the systems that we see doing that are the ones that we're going to see fall apart in the coming years.
Well, but
your school systems that try to sit kids down
they were needed,
into a
though.
Box and force they, information the, into right, them.
But they were needed. They had were. Their value. Yes. Is this just the pain of evolution?
Yes.
We're evolving into something different right
yes.
now.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Which and would sound like a crazy that. Thought at any point in time.
To think we're evolving?
Yeah, if you broke that out, even though evolution is ongoing, right? If you broke
you
that out,
off.
I know, yeah. If you broke it out at one point in time, like, hey, we're going through evolution. People like, you're crazy, man. Evolution doesn't. You're like, well, how did we get here? This is evolution.
Yeah,
it's our existence is evidence of evolution.
And we co-create.
Some people would probably argue that.
We have individual creation powers on what that evolution looks like. Now, our creation on this earth, it's shared with a whole bunch of others. Almost like you've got a vote. Well, there's also 8 billion other people voting, and it ain't just people, though, because God's everywhere. That's something that frustrates me about religion, that God's somewhere else. Like, God's right here. He's right here. They don't go anywhere. They're always around.
Okay.
So knowing that, you're already in heaven. You're in a perfect spot.
Is there more than one?
Well, no, I say they because I guess if you really want to get in a pronoun debate, like, God's not male or female. God's everything. So okay. God's a they. If you're really diving into the pronoun debate, God's a they.
I don't really
and
want
anybody
that.
Who's not saying they about God doesn't understand God, if you ask me.
Well,
anyway, that's a whole nother show.
It's also, you're to a certain degree right there, you're doing what you're saying others shouldn't do. You're trying to control people's thoughts around their religion. Right? That's a little script of, like, you need to know this. Like, because you were willing to argue a they pronoun issue, which just that the fact that there's going to be an argument says that I have a declaration of a defined statement according to me.
That was my own opinion. Yeah, that's not human design saying that.
No.
That's me.
But that's what I'm saying is anytime you impose or even lobby your opinion as this is the way to do it, then you're getting into that where you're actually trying to condition someone.
Yeah, and I have no problem telling someone.
I think it's a tricky thing. It's like religion truly is at its bare core, it is for you to discover.
Yes.
It is your discovery process. Mm-hmm. It's not your parents. It's not your children's. It's the individual wearing the clothes that emotionally fit them best with an understanding that gives them faith in an outcome that is, I would say, favorable to them.
Yeah. So
that's
what
fair?
The only thing I would argue saying that I'm not doing that is that I'm not telling them how to do it. I'm saying you do have a connection. And you're right. I mean, I make it some declaration
understand.
That it's, I
as
guess you could
understand.
Call it my opinion that God is in this microphone. God is in that plant. You know.
Yeah. Some people would call it sacrilege, right?
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The fact that
you would put
God into a physical material item would be. That's
and
why,
I think it's sacrilege to take God out of it.
I think these. That's why. Like, that's why these
they got a weak ass God. These are the same gods that have a devil that their God can't beat yet. Like God and the devil are the same thing.
Anyway, I think it's.
I don't want to get too far into or.
Yeah. This is why these conversations are hard to have. This is why people in general kind of avoid these conversations because it's everybody has to go. According to the religion I know, is that accurate or not? Is that accurate or not? And you kind of have to bounce it off of yourself. And I've discovered that we can't understand each other's religion. We'll never know each other. It's not worth. You even don't give it a neuron's thought to be concerned with somebody else's religion or even maybe how your children develop. It's all going to be different, and you got to follow your – see, now I'm going to do it, right, when I throw a God in. I just think it's intuition. intuition and what feels right is the road sign you have. And I don't know that there are many others. And if you go looking for road signs from other people, you're going to get their road sign.
Yes. And it won't match yours. And it won't be fun trying to go down their road on their side. Yeah. Like, we all have our own paths to walk.
But I also think there is absolutely nothing wrong with standing up as witness to whatever religion has worked well for you. And so if human design has worked well for you, to stand up and talk about it is allowing other people to make a judgment based on how you are imparting the information about a topic they maybe don't know. Like, I don't think these conversations are important for people to have. Like, it's part of the exploration of being a human is developing a religion around your religion or an absence of, which is still a religion. Any way you pick, you're going to have a religion about religion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the thing that always has worked well for me, even in times when it hasn't, because I've gone large gaps of my life where I've just completely given, I've been completely just agnostic to anything religions.
Mm-hmm.
But even that is a position, right? And so, like, all these things are religions. And the thing that's worked best for me is exploring until I get the emotions that tell me, oh, this feels good. This feels like a place I need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to be here for a while. And I'm going to receive this message and see where this grows me until it doesn't feel good. And if it doesn't feel good, what does that mean? It's time to move to where it feels good again.
And being aware of that will help line you up.
It's a hard thing to do.
There's a couple people that close, you and my wife, that I haven't pulled human design on too much. And I'll tell you right now, one of the reasons, for instance, with you, a self-awareness that you have, you seem to have broken off a lot of conditioning already.
Because I dress like I'm homeless.
No, there's always something we can give back.
That's my badge.
No, you and I both know we're not coming from a terrible place. Like, neither you and I wake up every morning saying, "Oh, this life is too heavy on me. I can't do it." You know, those are the kind of places you can get to whenever you're lacking self-awareness and you're making choices that don't line up with your truth.
Okay,
it hurts, and you wake up every day hurting. And now, once you find that starting to happen, whenever you see those in your life and it's come unmanageable and you want to seek outside help, that's where something like this can be very beneficial. And I don't have that pull so much from you. Or, as I said, somebody else is close in my life, my wife. She, and as I look at hers, she has a very fixed personality. She is someone who already knows themselves to an extent. It's more just about knowing how they fit in with the rest now.
Mm-hmm.
And so human design will be more or less beneficial to different people based on how well they already do or don't know themselves, or how they are or aren't already in alignment.
Well, I think there's a world of seekers out there. Some are seeking more ferociously than others, but for somebody that...
The ones that hurt the most seek the most.
I think that's...
If you're already comfortable, you don't get up and go...
That's a great point.
If your chair doesn't hurt, you don't get up.
That's a great point. And that also is a reminder, if you're in one of those valleys where you keep running into an electric fence, it's time where you have to make change, right? Something needs to change in order to move you into another direction. And that feeling of sorrow and anger and depression, those are all the signals that there's time for a course change.
Yeah, it's a needed. Course change or a course acceptance.
Okay.
And did you just sit down with a decent...
An acceptance is a change.
Yeah, it's a change in your... So you need to either change your behavior or you need to change your outlook.
I won't have to
know. I guess
that's
kind of what
we're saying. I won't have to... Like, if I think about your circumstance and I think about the fact that you struggle with alcoholism, and I wonder how much of that was you numbing your desire to just be a peacemaker. To be somebody who had everything, you know, to make everybody happy. But also, you can't make everybody happy. And so that's a conclusion that will also make you want to numb yourself. And so it's tricky to develop that awareness. That's challenging. That's really just having the awareness. But it often comes, or the painful things that can happen in your life, that's somebody ringing a doorbell on your awareness.
That's like a check engine light.
Oh, hey, come change
pay
this.
Pay attention here.
Yeah, yeah.
And too often we ignore those. We feel like they'll
consume you, though.
I mean, I don't know. I don't want to keep, because I've already made so many absolutes saying people do this, people don't believe that.
Well, you got to believe
something. And that's not true. It's not everyone. But for those that are running into difficulty and things of that nature, then it's something to look into. Start evaluating who you are, what situation you're in, what control and what choice you have. And if there's any confusion as to exactly who you are and where you need to match up, well, then something like human design, sitting down with a human design session like this, can really open your eyes. Like I told you one example of a personality trait that I have about trying to be a people pleaser and make mm-hmm. those around me happy. But there are multiple other examples as you go through a chart with someone that it's a very special experience. Like I almost feel bad that I'm one of the most procrastinating folks in the world. You know, as we talked about doing this session, this episode on human design,
yep.
You asked me, because I talk about it quite a bit, you know how much it's improved my life.
I've been curious.
And you were like, why don't you talk about it on the mic? And I was like, well, because then I'd have to start doing it. And I do want to be able to sit down and come from a place of knowing everything so that I can be everything the person in front of me needs to hear. I'm never going
to
be that.
Yeah, that's a tough ladder to stand on.
To understand right now I am enough to bring the exact right amount of help to someone who needs it. And I'm ready to start giving that. That's what I kind of wanted to come and finally do this episode at your behest. You know, I've spoke of how powerful and beneficial it's been in my life. And it's time to share that. I didn't learn this just for me.
What are you going to do?
Tell them about it. I'm going to continue on sitting down one-on-one sessions with people
okay.
to help them on paths of self-discovery. I told myself to make sure that I was going to be worthy of it when I started charging for my time. I wanted to get 10 sessions out of the way. Not out of the way, so to speak, but... under my belt. I don't know what you say. I need to get 10 sessions of experience. I wanted some practice, and during that practice, I wasn't going to charge for it. Not to say that it won't be helpful, but like I just
you are inside the worst marketer on the face of the planet. But that means you speak truth. That's the beautiful thing. The worst marketer just means that somebody's telling you the truth.
So if you're the best marketer, this is all my truth. That's all I'm trying to say. So now I've done some with friends, and I'm really starting to feel more confident with it. I'm ready to extend it out, perhaps to strangers, okay. anyone who's interested, listening right now.
Okay.
I'm gonna give my last three free sessions out on the Thought Line.
All right.
I think it's going to be fun.
Giveaway.
If anybody is interested in going down a path of self-discovery and all it takes is your willingness to come sit down with me for an hour, I've already done all the work that it needs to sit there and give you the information.
Does it have to be in person?
I prefer in person. I really do. I do not think you get full benefit of a genuine emotional moment. And when you're trying to sit down and teach someone self-discovery,
okay.
That's an emotional moment. It's not done well through a screen.
Okay.
It's hard to read the energy in the room.
Have you ever tried?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I just feel a whole lot more productive, in tune, whenever someone's sitting there right in front of me making eye contact. Not to say it can't be done over the screen, because I've had one done that way. Like I did a human design session with somebody else doing my chart, and it was very impactful. I learned a lot from it. I still know that if we just sat down face to face, it could have been.
Yeah, I just think about somebody who can't get to you.
Well, then I'm not for them. Then go find somebody in your area. It's kind of my thought on this deal. Like I know I'm not making it easy to come get my service. Right. I'm not even sure.
I just want to make sure. So you got to be in Oklahoma City surrounding area.
Yeah,
they're coming to your office.
Oh, I might drive to another. You know, I could meet.
Okay, this thing needs some boundaries. So mm-hmm. Oklahoma City area.
Yeah, anybody ready to meet in Oklahoma City area?
For the first three?
Yes, first
come,
calls.
First serve.
Yes.
All right. We're not taking.
Because I don't want to pick it. I want to see what comes.
Yeah, the universe. You're a believer of attraction. You're a believer of attraction. I get that. So with all that being said, this is not going to be recorded. There's nothing to do with the show. Correct?
Oh, that's right. No, I mean, it has to do with what made me while I'm here talking.
No,
on the
I'm
show.
Just, I'm, try, about, I'm trying to it. Let the person know that's going like, hey, I'm interested, what exactly their commitment is.
Oh, no,
no recordings, none of that. No. They're going to come to our office and sit down for an hour, 30 minutes. How long does it take?
An hour.
And then you immediately give them their, like, here's your reading?
Yeah, you'll walk out from that hour knowing enough to change your life. If you came in looking for a life change and self-awareness is what is needed to fix that, you're going to immediately walk out 1 hour later correcting. In the middle of correction.
Well, that's a heck of a guarantee. That's a heck of a guarantee.
Call it whatever word you want. It's right then. You can't get this sort of self-awareness knowledge and not have an impact. There will not probably be a session more powerful than the first one. Wow. This is coming from someone who's been to a couple, three of them.
Okay.
You can continue to get new insights, especially on what's going on with you in the moment. But there is nothing that's going to be more impactful, especially as an adult who's struggled not really knowing your own personality. Just one session will open your eyes in ways that you never could have thought
so
possible.
So it is going to rain awareness on you, awareness that you won't be able to wash off, that is a truth that you may not know about yourself if you're struggling with awareness.
Yes.
All right. In a free session.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. First three numbers, the thought lines will come up on the end. And I look forward to starting with new.
Is there a money back guarantee on this free session?
Yeah, I'll give you all the money back. I mean, what free session money?
Well, it sounds like the bar or the commitment level is low.
My favorite thing when they don't like. Well, if you don't like the first one, I'll give you another one for free.
Oh, that was awesome. I'll make you like it. Eventually, you'll like it so little, you'll give it to a friend just to get it out of your life.
Oh, man, that's funny you mentioned that. That was one of the ways I thought about, because I've had a hard time starting on this because I just don't like collecting money. Honestly, as I mentioned earlier on in this, like, money is not my goal.
Yeah.
So it feels weird to try to say, this is the dollar amount that I am worth to you. Yeah. I really, in this thing, I almost want to try to make it like a forced barter system. Or a pay it forward thing.
Oh, I like
you
that.
Can't pay me for your session.
Yeah, but you got to my spine.
Pay for somebody else.
Oh, okay.
You got to pay it forward. The only way you get a session is by paying it forward for somebody. You can't pay for your session.
Okay.
I'm not guaranteeing I'm doing this, but I'm just telling you all the crap I've thought of that's held me back from ever starting to do this because I can't figure out how to even get paid.
Well, then let's don't go down that road.
No,
it doesn't sound productive.
That's why we're doing the free ones at first. Yeah. I don't know what it's going to look like after that. But that's me, man. I take one step at a time.
I don't know
what step 3,000 is going to look like, but I know what the next one looks like. And the next one looks like me sitting down with three unknown people after a call to the thought line.
And you're going to discover themselves. Their life in a way they never thought they could imagine in 1 hour.
Yes.
Woo! I mean, that's a heavy bar to raise.
You've heard what I'm saying here. How would knowing
I'm
yourself
just trusting you.
Undeniably what your truth is,
I don't know.
I hope benefit from that. Will benefit
to say that people are not on various scales. I mean, awareness is a spectrum,
mm-hmm.
and you are in some level aware of yourself and in some level not.
Yes.
Even in my most heightened state of awareness, I have to understand that I don't even know my own limitations. So there's always something outside of my awareness, just by kind of the definition of awareness. So I think, you know, there are times in your life, specifically when you're younger, where awareness is a really challenging thing to achieve. I think it comes easier when you get older. But it is more impactful the younger you learn how to start self-modulating yourself through awareness, just the better life you're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
And you choose the definition of better. That's for you to choose.
As long as you know what you are. You don't know what your choice is, better or worse, until you know who you are.
That's fair.
It's like trying to trying to pick colors on a house that you don't even know what color the house is yet. That's what some people are doing with their lives. That's a really good analogy. I love that. It's like you're trying to decorate a life for yourself,
mm-hmm.
but you don't even know what color your couch and your carpet is. Like, how the heck are you going to know what pictures to hang on the wall to match up with if you don't even know what you are?
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm here saying I'm going to do.
Okay.
I'm going to teach you what you want. I'm going to tell you what you don't know about yourself. We're going to break off all that conditioning that you're carrying around that's hurting your soul, limiting your expression. You take all that conditioning off and then start coming from your place of truth. There's no telling what that's going to look like. I can't tell you what your life will be. I can't promise it's going to get better. there are some aspects of when I found out about myself and I start coming from that truth, mm-hmm. my life get harder. Because of where I was in my conditioning and trying to get my alignment back up. If you're out of alignment, getting back into place, that's that. Oh, what are they? All life is suffering. that is what I believe the suffering is. The suffering is the difference in between your path and where you've gotten conditioned off of it. Yeah. And if you can limit that amount of conditioning and get back on the path sooner, well, your life doesn't have to go through so much suffering, but it will be there.
No, it's to decouple from anything that's familiar has an element of suffering to it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just...
Even the suffering. You're familiar with the suffering. Breaking off of suffering can hurt.
just anything that you've been around, it's the traffic cone model.
Yeah.
If you've been around it long enough, you start to love it. And so it doesn't matter if it's good, bad, or whatever. It's just what you know and what you're comfortable with. And we can cling to those things, I think, sometimes longer than is necessary. Until we have these big volcanoes of awareness when, bam, everything changes. So, okay. So next three people. Call on the thought line number that I don't have memorized, so we'll let it roll after this.
Yes.
Hang on to the end. And they just give their name, phone number, a way to contact them.
Yes. You give email, phone number to text, however you want to be contacted back. Get that information on the message. And then, like I said, first three, calling them back, and we're going to start your new life knowing who you are.
Man. Wow, that's a price-free guarantee right there. So do with it what you will. I mean, I think if you're struggling, it's not a matter of like, well, it can't hurt. It's a matter of, you know, the struggle is likely evidence of a lack of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it feels to me.
That's why let's turn up that self-awareness.
All right. Well, thanks for the explanation on human design.
Hey, there's still more to explain. I feel like I didn't even get any of it.
Yeah,
hopefully you got a better understanding.
We herky-jerky all over the place, but like, it's just the nature of conversation. So hopefully people now have a better understanding. And one thing that let's go back and recap one last thing. I didn't quite get this. So the things that are inputted that are relevant are date and time, place of birth.
Time and place, that's it.
Time and place, is that? Yeah. Okay. So this reading that you're going to do for people is, and reading's the appropriate term?
I like session.
All right. Reading does get a little mystical.
It does. It's
too far into the crystal garden.
I'm not even afraid to go in the crystal garden. I'm not there. I don't know how to do it.
Yeah, words are tricky. Words are tricky, especially in sensitive spots. So say with it what you will. Next three people that call Thought Line, leave the name and info, and
we'll get back in touch.
We'll be in touch.
I look forward to helping.
Well, thanks for teaching me about human design.
You got plenty more to come. We just ain't going to do it all on the mic.
Well, thanks
you're
for
listening to me talk about this.
Thanks for the four-piece nugget then.
Yeah, you're welcome.
If you have a curiosity you would like to chase along with us, call the Thought Line at 866-340-3394. Again, 866-340-3394.